Okay, what a joyous morning. Welcome, world. Today's daf in Masechet Gittin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Irat Kodesh, is daf Mem Gimel. And I believe we are still on the bottom of Mem Beis Amud Beis. Ran out of time a little bit. And that's up to the words, yes, I remember now, we got up to Iboy Elohu. Six lines up from the bottom. Iboy Elohu. Eved shemachuro rabo leknas. Machuro eno machur. So remember that we've been talking about this fascinating situation about who exactly gets the knas of an eved, shloshim shel eved. It's a lot of money. And we talked about if it's the day on the eved, day of the odin. Meanwhile, this raises a fascinating question. Because this issue about whether the rights to the knas is considered to be monetary value, is it the monetary ownership? Is it related specifically also to the Isser ownership? That raises a fascinating point, because what would be the din if somebody sells the rights to the Eved's Knas, but he does it by selling the actual Eved for its Knas? So in other words, you should be Kona this Eved for the purpose your ownership consists of, whatever it is in an Eved that owning him allows you to get the Knas, right? Okay, so I'm willing to pay you, let's say, 10 cents for this Eved, that in the unlikely event that he gets gored by one of Gabi's cows, that then you're going to be able to collect Shloshim Shel Eved on your 10 cents. So then that...
Reverse insurance?
What's that?
Reverse insurance.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, it's people do that kind of thing. They make those kind of investments. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Sure, people pay insurance for that sort, for other people. Anyway, so the question would be, is this actually an issue of a Dover Shalom Bala Olam? Because, I mean, if I could sell the actual Evet, you know, it's different than selling the rights to something that would come in from the Eved. How exactly do we look at it? Because it's fascinating. We can look at it actually in two different ways. It's a very cute question. Remember, we have a machlokas from Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim about whether a person is able to sell a davar shelo bala olam. So that would be something like, let's say, you want to sell the fruit that are going to be growing on this tree. Right? Not that you're selling the tree for the fruit. When you sell when the fruit grows, those fruits should be yours. So the Rabbi Meir says you can do that, and the Chachamim say you can't do that. Now the question is over here, what would be the din about this Eved, the rights to this Eved's Knas? And I can see that in two ways, so that Rabbi Meir in this case may even hold, no, you can't do that. That's too much of davar shelo bala olam. Or because they're just the opposite. The Rabbanan would hold, no, this is considered to be a davar shelo. How is that? Well, tibay le Rabbi Meir and tibay both le Rabbanan. Let me explain to you why. According to Rabbi Meir, this case may be different than selling the fruit of a tree that will be coming in. Because at kan lo kam Rabbi Meir adamakta davar shelo bala olam ela, things like, let's say, peirot dekel. So I want to be selling the rights to your dates that are going to be growing on your palm tree. Because that is something that is part of nature, not an event that may or may not happen. It's true it may not happen, but a part of the standard development of things is it's expected. Mashenke, I mean, what are you going to say over here? You're going to be selling the rights to Gavi's cows. I mean, the cows that are going to go and gore him. I mean, mi yema de minagach. I mean, a lot of this might be psychological. I don't want to suggest anything. But so a lot of this fear, you know, we don't know whether they are really going to gore him. And even if they would, you know, I mean, the owner of those cows may end up being Moda in Bezdin, and then he's Potter, because it's a Knas. And remember, Moda B'Knas is Potter. So even if it would take place, there's absolutely no reason for us to think that you're actually going to be able to get money out of it. So maybe that's like too far-fetched. So maybe Rabbi Meir is Moda, then in that case, it's not considered to be a davar shelo, but it's even not in the realm of a davar shelo bala olam that you could sell. It's totally low bala. But I can look at it the other way, which is fascinating. Because you see, according to the Rabbanan said, no, you cannot sell the dates that are going to be coming in on your palm. But nonetheless, they might agree that in this case, you could. Because that is indeed things like the fruit on the deco. They don't exist. Now, the deco exists. You didn't buy the deco. You didn't buy the deco for the fruit. You bought the fruit. The fruit don't exist at all. But in this case, all of the ingredients that will create the monetary chiyuv that you will have exist. Here's the eved. Here's the shor. Now, the only question is, can you get the two together in the right way? You know, I mean, so maybe that's considered to be a dover shaboliola. Now, you understand that this is fundamentally part of the argument between the Americans and the intelligent people in the world about what to do about the Iranians, right? I mean, you know, fundamentally, the question is, can you get them together? Oh, that's called critical mass. Big problem. Okay, so that's the issue. Do we say that because the ingredients are here, it's considered to be a davar shebaliolam, or do the ingredients only happy when you reach critical mass and that makes the Americans disappear? No one can tell you the answer here. So therefore, we have both of these questions. Let's see it inside. What they were referring to is kigon peres deka, because at least we don't see anything that currently exists. We're just hoping something will come into being. Mashen came, where you're talking about the shloshim shalevet. Now look here. To my right is that shor. To my left is the evet. Now the only question is, can we figure out a delivery mechanism? Pow. That's the question. But maybe that's called a davar shaboliola. Anyway, what do you think, Mike? Omri Baba, I could bring you a raya, okay? Here it says in the Braita, Yelid Bait. So somebody who's born, this is just such a brilliant raya. It's beyond belief that somebody should come up with this, right? So who gets to eat the truma of a kohen? So you can have either Yelid Beito or Miknat Kaspo, right? So if the kohen bought an eved, then that eved is allowed to eat truma. And if an eved is actually born into the house of a kohen as to an amma that the kohen owns, so then also he can eat. Now, why did the Torah need to say these yelid bayit part? I mean, if you already said kinyan kaspo, so obviously if you bought him and he never was yours, it's enough for him to eat. So if he was actually born into the house from his inception, I mean, do I really need to know? Im kinyan kaspo ochel, isn't it obvious that Yelid Beito also is going to be able to eat because he's at least the same as kinyan kaspo? You own him totally. Ah, says the bride. Let's say Yilu came. If it would have only told us that kinyan kaspo can eat, I would have said, okay, kinyan kaspo implies that there is currently money in that ownership. Now, let's imagine a case where that eved is worthless. Nobody's going to buy him. He has a terrible skin disease, mukashkin. Dr. Barry Poskin, that there's no chance of this guy ever getting better. He's falling into pieces. Who is going to invest in somebody like that to have around his house? So in that case, you would say, well, the Torah says, as be kinyan kaspo, if you can't find any value in it, so then you're not really an owner. So then he wouldn't be allowed to eat truma. So then if that's the case, I would have said, if the only makar that I have is kinyan kaspo, then I would have said, even an eved born into the home of a kohen, if he loses his monetary value, so then what would be the dinim yesh po shava kesef? Only then he's ochel. But how about if there's no financial interest? That's the chiddush. Yelid bayit teaches me you can totally ignore the aspect of the kinyan that the kesef provides you for its current value kesef. And therefore, I now know that that's not the point. Tamad lomer yelid beito, mikol makom. So however it is that the kohen got him through birth. Now, maybe you'll still argue, okay, but that's only if he actually was born into the house of a kohen. So Adayan and Yomer, yes, ben sheyesh bo shava kesef, ben sheyesh bo shava kesef ochel, but that's yelid bayit. How about where the entire rights to the eating was the fact that the kohen spent money on this eved? And now it turns out the ebit has no intrinsic value. So then, if it was kinyan kesev, only if it currently has yesh bo shava kesev, then it would be ochel. But if ein bo shava kesev, there's no current value, so then I would say maybe indeed a kinyan kesev is too weak, unless it actually has a current value. Talmud lomar. Therefore, the Torah puts together these two things: kinyan kespo, v'yelid beito. Both of them are ochlin by making it basically a hekesh to tell me just like yelid bayit afa pishenu shava klum can eat, af kinyan kespo afa pishenu shava klum can eat. And here is my brilliant raya. If you're going to tell me that there exists such a concept as investing a penny in an eved for the rights of the shloshim shel eved, then there's no such thing as an eved that doesn't have a value. Because who cares if nobody wants to buy him? I can still put it out on the commodity market for people who want to buy pork bellies or rights to shloshim shekel shel eveds, right? They don't have to ever even see the eved. They don't know anything about it. I'll invest 10 cents to buy the rights to 10 avodim that may, one of them may get gored by one of Gavi's cows, and therefore I collect big time. Maybe. But the point is, there's no such thing as a valueless eved. Isn't that brilliant? If the investment is worth it, so then that itself is a certain value. Therefore, it's clear from here, since the entire need for writing Yelid Bayis is specifically to include a case where something doesn't have value, obviously there can't be such a thing as the fact that any eved must have value because of its pork belly value. Kindness. I think it's absolutely stunning. So Isak Adaitach Eved, Shemichoro Rabo Leknas, is considered to be a proper sale. Then how would you ever have an eved? The Lomis Davin Leknasa. There's no such thing. So the Gemara, yes, there is. What if this eved is a treifa? So now, this eved has a terminal problem. Okay, so it's got one of the yutchas treifas, means he's considered to already be dead. Now, if he's got that, then there would be no chiv of shloshim shel eved, even if he was gored to death, because he's already dead. It's the same thing as shooting a treifa, where there's no chiyav misa on shooting a treifa. So therefore, if that would be the case, that would be an eved that's worth nothing. But wait a minute, just because he's a treifa doesn't mean he can't do any kind of work. I mean, he still is functional, he's doing okay, you know, and he's got another year to live or whatever. I mean, why in the world are we saying he's not worth anything? No, I mean that he's both a treifa, and he's also a manuvala mukashchin that nobody would want around. So therefore, you do not have him as an eved, and you cannot have him as an investment. That would be the case. That would be mechayev me a posik to tell me that yelid bayit is nonetheless eating. The answer is nowhere near as much fun as the raya, but what can you do? Ibailu, another question I have. How about somebody is a chatzi eved, and he's a chatzi ben chorin? He goes ahead and he gives kiddushin to a bat chorin. So if he were a Kanani, it's absolutely meaningless. But the question is, can your better half be mekadesh your better half? That's the question. So is she called his better half because his better half, that is to say the part that was a bat chorin, was mekadesh her or not? So, and let me point out to you the fascinating issues that this is going to raise, okay? Imtim Saloma, I know what you're going to say. You're going to say that, well, I mean, we know that we have the case where a regular guy, a Ben Yisrael, says to a Bat Yisrael, I want you to be Mekudeshet to me, but only to half of me. So the din is over there that the Kiddushin is good. But maybe that's because he is capable of giving a full kiddushin. The translation of his words in non-legalese is, listen, honey babes, I'm happy to have you as a wife, but not if you think you're exclusive. That's what he's saying. So you're only going to be getting half of me. You know, so you got to be prepared for the other half making out with somebody else. That's what he's telling you. Okay, fine. But at least he is capable of the full act of Kiddushin. So therefore, there's no problem. He's allowed to have two wives. And if what he's telling her is, you know, I mean, I'm a good Eshetli, but take into consideration, I plan on marrying others. Okay? So that would be because Chazir Lekulam, Hashenkin in this case, where the person does not have the power to be totally, give totally Kedushin, because only half of him is the Ben Chorin, so then she's not Chazir Lekule, in which case maybe you cannot be half married, and therefore it wouldn't count. Now, if you try to tell me and say, well, how about in the other case? The other case is a Ben Yisrael says to a woman, half of you is Mekudeshes to me, right? So she does not become Mekudeshet because a woman can't be married to two men at the same time. So that's not called Kedushin. Okay, so then you'd say the same thing is true over here. So, okay, you're not, in this case, since over there she can't have a Kedushin of half, then here too, you can't have a Kedushin to half because basically you only have a half to be Mekadesher, right? So that free part is not enough? No, it's not the same. Because in that case, the person who could have been Mekadesh the whole thing, he left out part of what his kinyan is capable of doing. He was Mishayer B'kinyan. No, that's not called Kedushin. It has to be the full kinyan of Kedushin. Mashenkein, the Eved is completely not limited at all. He only has, I give you all of the heart I have to give you, my honey bunch, because I only have a half a heart. Okay, but you're giving her the whole half a heart. So the question is, maybe that's not called Shir Bikinyon. Fascinating questions, right? So these are not called Shir Bikinyon. So maybe that would be considered to actually be a proper marriage. Toshma. Let's take a look and see from a Braita. Heimid mishechetzio eved vechetzio ben chorin. So what did we say? Somebody owns an ox that kills a chatzio eved chatzio ben chorin. So half of the knas goes to the owner, and half of the kofer, which belongs to the free part, goes to his heirs. Now, we said before, we're going to be talking about the question, how does an eved have heirs? Well, now it's time to air that problem. How does an Eved have heirs? Because Iyamri Kedushin Lav Kedushin. We got a smile from Barnea. Iyamri Kedushin Lav Kedushin. If you're going to tell me that he cannot marry a regular woman at all, how does he have heirs? Because the biological heirs are not his heirs. You need to have heirs that are mityachasim acharav. And if he is not shayach to Kedushin, then there's no yichus acharav. Omrevada barava. Who's to say that this, I mean, yes, these cows are dangerous, Avgavi. But how dangerous? Maybe when they attacked the guy, they didn't actually kill him. They just made him a treifa. And in making him a treifa, you have to pay the shloshim shalevet because it's like killing him. But in this case, there's a very good heir, the guy himself. He says, get out of here with heirs. I'm still alive. You're counting me as dead, maybe legally, but I want my money. So in that case, when it says it goes to Yorshav, it really means it goes to him. Huh, what do you think about that? So what do we mean by Yorshav? We mean himself. And, of course, Rava has his usual problems with this. That's a wonderful pshat, says Rava, except for one very inconvenient fact, that it says his heirs and he's not his heir. Okay, is that inconvenient fact? Can we think about that? So this is Rava's always problem. Don't give me these far-fetched explanations. Or state your vote, but number one, that's not what it says. Choda, your shavkatani, okay? And secondly, the whole thing makes absolutely no sense. Why? Because what we're talking about over here is tashlume kofer. There's two different issues. When it comes to kofer, it says over there, vehemit ish o isha. Vehemit means the guy died. Not that he's technically dead. It means that he died. in the case of the Shloshim Shel Eved, all it says is Vinagach. Okay, fine. So the Vinagach, that's all very nice, but not in terms of being Mechayev you, Kofer. So there's two different psukim. Im Eved Yigach Hashor, O Ama, doesn't say he has to die. So over there, Shloshim Shkolim Yitin Ladunav. But when it comes to Tashlume Kofer, it says Beferish Vehimit Ish O Isha. And there's your other inconvenient fact, says Rava. If we're talking about Tashlume Chatzi Kofer, then Trefa would not do it. Sorry. You want to understand what the Gemara really means, what the Braita really means, says Rava? What it really means is very simple. And you're twisting yourself around in circles trying to figure out what something simple means. All it means, says Rava, is that half of it goes to his non-existent Yorshim, meaning that's where it should go. And since there are no Yorshim, don't pay it. That's all that it means. So Ella Amar Rava Ra'uili told, yes, that's what should be, but Ein Lo. And therefore, it's saying exactly what it means. Okay, now let's talk about the other way around. What would be the din if someone is Mekadesh, a Chatzi Shivcha? So Amar Rava. In the same way that if a person is Mekadesh a Chatzi Isha, she's not Mekudeshes, as we just spoke about, assuming that that's because the total woman needs to be Mekudeshes. So then the same thing is true about a Chatzi Shefra of a Chatzi Baschorin. If she has Kedushin, well, the total woman doesn't have Kedushin. So how could you have a Kedushin when the Kedushin doesn't define the woman? So it should be exactly the same, and therefore it's not called Kedushin. Dorash Rabba Baravuna, and Rabba Baravuna basically said the same thing. Shimsha Mekadesh Chatzi Isha, Yenu Mekudeshes, Kach Chetz Yashivcha V'Chetz Yabatchorin, Shinit Katsha, Enam Kodeshes. Now, the obvious question on this is the question Rav Chista asks. Omale Rav Chista, how are those the same? I don't understand. If you're Mekadesh a Chatzi Isha, that's the same as being Mekadesh the Chatzi Shivcha? The Chatzi Shivcha is a Chatzi Isha. The only part that you're taking is the part that the Kedushin is Shayach to. And there, you took the whole woman. That's all she has. Is that Chetzi, which is the Bat Chori. So there was no Shir B'Kinyano. Mashenken, when you ask a normal woman to be only Chetzi of her Mikudesha to you, you're being Mishayir B'Kinyano. And Hatam Shir B'Kinyano, V'Hachalo Shir B'Kinyano. And therefore it's completely not comparable. Well, when Rabba Bar Avuna heard that, he realized, oh, I think I just made a fool of myself. Okay. Because I didn't realize that it's really not Kishem. I mean, that's a big mistake. So he got up there. He figured I might as well face the music completely. And he takes an Amira and he gives a drusha on the pasuk. V'hamach shila hazot tachat yadecha. This is a beautiful pasuk that we spoke about at length in the Gemara Chagiga. It's so beautiful. And we were talking about afilu b'shat kishlona. There were always Anshe Amanabi Yerushalayim. So remember the story over there was that the day will come, says Yeshayahu Anavi, the day will come when people will gather around the one person in their community that's left that they think knows something. And they beg him. They say to him, listen, we're all Ameoritz. We're dying for someone to teach us. We need someone to tell us what the halacha is. And they grab him, ki itfos ish b'achiv, they grab him, and they hold on to him, and they say, listen, simlalacha, katsin tielano, please, this is from this week's Haftarah, right? You will be the leader. Just teach us Torah. That's all that we want. V'hamachashela hazot tachat yadecha. Now, why do they call Torah the machashela hazot? This failing is what you have. Why is Torah a failing? Ah, because that's the point. We call Torah a failing because you never really know Divrei Torah unless you fail at it. So once you fail at it, then you've gone through the embarrassment at failing, then you know it. Because then you really figure out what should have been, right? So therefore, we call Divrei Torah Hamacha Shela, which is beautiful because we know, you know, how many books try to tell you that failure is only your step to success. And if we want an indication, we have a moment of Barnea's neighborhood to teach us about failure.
I watched this. Rebbe's father came in to give the Shir Klali, I think it was on Tuesday, and he started explaining the Chodesh Rishonim, and then he said, no, don't forget. And then he stressed it, and I didn't understand what was happening, and somebody explained to me from the Rosh Hashanah Shir, he came in seeing it this way, and as he was speaking, he realized it was the opposite, and he changed, so everybody caught the change, but he was literally bad this time.
Yeah, okay, but there you catch yourself. It's not as bad. Over here, other people catch you. That's bad. So, anyway, therefore, said Rabbi Baravuna, so that's why we call Divrei Torah a failure. Because, Ein Adam Omed al Divrei Torah Elim Kein Nichshal Behem. Well, I have to tell you, I finally figured it out, but only because I just said you the wrong thing, you know. Everything that I said was wrong. The exact opposite is true. And now I'm going to say it right. Even though we know that you cannot be Mekadosh Chatzi Isha, but if she's a Chetzi Shivcha v'Chetzi Bat Chorin, and she was Nitkatsha, Kiddushia Kiddushin. My Taima, as we said, Hatam Shi'er B'Kinyano, Hachal Lo Shi'er B'Kinyano. So as long as you did your best, and that's all that she's got, then that's what the Kiddushin is. Whereas Reb Shesha says, no. It's still true that kach chetz yeshivcha vechetz yibat chorishin itkatsha ein kiddushia kiddushin. Now I know what people are going to say. People are going to come over and whisper in your ears, don't pay any attention to that ripshish's character. Why will I tell you that? Here's why. Im lachashcha adam lomar, somebody whispers to you, that's ridiculous. What about the, says Beferish, Ezohi Shivcha Charufa. Who is a Shivcha Charufa? Zo Shechetzia Shivcha Vechetzia Bat Chorin. So remember, we had two approaches, but everybody agrees that in the event here, that we're going to be darshaning the pasuk of Hefta Lo Nivdata. So she's half and half, right? Okay. And we're calling that a Shivcha Charufa. And she goes and she gets married to an Eved Ivri. Now, she doesn't only have to be married to an Eved Ivri. Because if the Eved Ivri is able to give her a Kedusha to the freed part, a Ben Chorin can also give her Kedusha to the freed part. The only reason we mention the Eved Ivri is because he's allowed to be married to the unfreed part. So, Mamela, to keep everything legal and above water, we talk about her accepting Kedusha from an Eved Ivri. It wouldn't really matter if it were an actual Ben Chorin. Now, you see from there that this Sheshes character is wrong. That's what they're going to whisper to you, says Rav Sheshes. Because you see from here that she accepts Kiddushin. It says, Hamu'uras al-Eved Ivri. And therefore, don't listen to him. Well, I'll tell you how to answer him. Tell the guy back, stop whispering. Why don't we talk about this in the open? You're wrong. Because if you want to take a look at the language of Mu'urasala Eved Ivri, why don't you ask Rabbi Yishmael what the din is of a Shivcha Charufa, okay? Remember that Rabbi Yishmael, he says, Dibra Torah Kalashon B'nei Adam, as we just had. And according to him, what is the meaning of a Shivcha Charufa? She is a total Knaanit. Hefta lo niftata means she is totally without any pinyan. She's a complete Shivcha Knaanit. And she's Mu'urasala Eved Ivri. And that is the din. So you'll say, well, how could the Torah be Machayev her? And why is there a Chiyev of bringing a Korban if she's only a ask Rabbi Shmuel. Why is the Torah Machayev her? And for Malkus and he's Chayev a Korban. What do you think Rabbi Shmuel will tell you? Hey, stupid. You don't like the way God does things. Write your own Torah. If the Torah is calling her the very fact that she has a relationship, that we're going to call that a mu'urasa. And that's enough to be mechayev you a korban. Does that mean that she's mu'urasa with kiddushin? Of course not. It's a borrowed term, according to Rabbi Yishmael. There is no possible kiddushin with a shivcha, but nonetheless, the Torah is saying, okay, but still, we're going to be machmir to respect a relationship between a man and a woman. So, bayit lach lemeimar. So how do you explain the word shivcha, the way the brides have said mu'ureset? What mureset obviously means is miuchedet, somebody that was set aside to be his sexual partner. Doesn't mean literally mureset. So hachanami, my mureset, miuchedet. If Rabbi Shmuel can live with that explanation, why do you think the Rabbanan can't live with that explanation? Even though they hold that she's a chatzi shivcha, chatzi bas chorin, and therefore start paying attention to that sheshes guy. He knows exactly what he's talking about. That's what I would say. Omer of Chista, I got another deal for you, okay? Let's say you have a chatzi shivcha, chatzi bas chorin. Listen to this. She goes ahead and she accepts kiddushin from Reuven. Now, she then is able to buy out the rest of her, the other shutaf, whatever the case was, the other shutaf now frees her. Now she's a totally free woman, right? Now she goes and she accepts kiddushin on her other half from Reuven's brother, Shimon. And then Reuven and Shimon both die. She gets Yibum from Levi, the third brother. So you'll say, well, why not? I'll tell you why not. Because remember what the halacha is? That Eshet Shnei Metim, it says, Ki Yeshvu Achim Yachdav, Umet Echad Mehem. Ubein Ein Lo. Yivama Yavoh Aleha. Only Echad Mehem. But a woman who is married to two people, what? What in the world? What is the case over there? So remember that this is a din d'rabbanan. In a case where one of the brothers gives ma'amar, remember that halacha? One of the brothers gives ma'amar, which is kedusha d'rabbanan, to the yavama. And then he dies. Now you have two deceased brothers. The third brother does not do yibum. Why? Because mid'rabbanan, it's the equivalent of being a woman who's married to two men. She was married to the original deceased brother, literally, and then the second brother, who was a Yavam, went ahead and gave her Kiddushin. So now, if he also dies, it's as if it's not Meit Echad Mehem, it's as if Meit Shnayim Mehem. But in this case, where she's married to both Reuven and Shimon, you're going to tell me, no, that does not apply. Because B'monavshach, she's never going to be married to both Reuven and Shimon. If you hold that Kiddushin Reuven was a good Kiddushin, then Kedusha Shimon was not a good Kedusha. And if you hold Kedusha Shimon is a good Kedusha, then Kedusha Reuven was not a good Kedusha. In other words, I'm not sure, says Rav Chista, whether a Kedusha given to a Chatzi Eved, a Chatzi Oma, and a Chatzi Bas Chayrin, I'm not sure if the halacha is like Rabba was said before, or whether it's like Rav Sheshes, but whatever it is, it's one way or the other. It obviously is not going to allow her to be married once she's nishtachra to the other brother. So Mimanavshach, one of them becomes a complete kedushin, and the other one isn't chalna. I don't know which one that is, but whichever it is, Levi is a brother to the one to whom it is, either Reuven or Shimon, and therefore whatever the halacha is, Levi definitely marries, and there's no problem of her being married to two of his brothers. Now, the question is, what indeed happens if she was married and then she becomes mishuchreret, itma, chetz yashivcha v'chetz yabat chori, and she was nitkacha to a guy named Reuven, and then she gets the rest, the other partner, let's say Freezer. Now she goes ahead and she accepts kedushin from Shimon, not to be confused with Shimon, who is Reuven's brother. This is Shimon HaKohen. He's not related. So she goes in and she marries this other guy, which, of course, if she was a shivcha, she shouldn't have married Shimon HaKohen, but she found out he wasn't really a Kohen. He was a Ben Grusha, Ben Chalutza. And actually, he spelled his name wrong. So he spelled it with a K. Anyway, whatever it is, the bottom line is, what's the din? So Rav Yosef Bar Chama Om Rav Nachman, well, the moment that she becomes a Bat Chorin, the first Kedushin go up and just in the air. It goes up in smoke. Because the moment that she becomes a Bat Chorin, this is how Rashi learns it. There's a number of different approaches. Rashi's approach is that a Shivcha that becomes a Bat Chorin is the equivalent of a Giyoret. So even though she was Bechuyevet B'mitzvot before, the fact that this gives her Kedushas Yisrael means that for all intents and purposes, she is a new human being at this moment. And that new human being was never married. And therefore, the first Kedushin went up in smoke. There was no first Kedushin. That's what I say. So therefore, she's only Shimon's wife. Whereas Rabbi Zera says, on the contrary, when you have something that there is, let's say something could have been Kodesh Kulei, you were Mekadesh part of it, the moment that the whole thing becomes available for Kedushin, we have a concept called Parshta Kedushin Bekula. The Kedushin expands to take up all of the space that is allowed to take up. And over here, the original Kedushin now becomes complete. And therefore, according to Reb Zera, Reb Nachman said, Gomru Kedushin Rishon. Therefore, she's Reuven's wife, not Shimon's wife at all. Omer Reb Zera, I'll prove it to you. Kavati didibi stavra. Look, it says in the story of Chatz, again, it's amazing how rich that narrative is about the Shivcha Necharefet. Oh, so there, what does it say? Lo yumtu ki lo chupasha, remember? Okay, now let's analyze that. The people that slept together as a male with a chatzi, shivcha chatzi baschorin, who was now connected to this Evet Kenani, they shall not die. Why? Because there was no gerishin, get shichra, right? Mashma, but if there would have been complete shichrur, and if the other owner had in fact been mishachrur, then we would have had to carry out a chiyav of misa about an eshes ish, right? So you see that I'm right. The moment that she would have been nishtachrura, the kedushin that previously was only a partial kedushin becomes a total kedushin, because the only reason she will not die is because of the fact that she wasn't nishtachrura. Ha-chuvasha, kein yumutu. Amalei Abaye to Rabbi Zera, no siree, doesn't prove anything. Because how do you think Rabbi Shmuel is going to read that pasuk, huh? Remember, according to Rabbi Shmuel, she was not a chatzi shivcha, chatzi baschorin. She was totally a shivcha. So make the same deal. What are you going to say? That according to Rabbi Shmuel, if she now suddenly has all of her shivchas removed, now you're going to die. Because she is married to the other, how could she be married to the other guy? What's the matter with you? She was a total shivcha. There was absolutely no legal validity between Yisrael to that relationship. What are you talking about? That she would become an Ashes Ish? With what? With what condition did she become an Ashes Ish? Obviously, Rabbi Shmuel does not understand the pasuk like that. And if Rabbi Shmuel doesn't understand the pasuk like that, there's no need for you to force that translation of the pasuk onto the Chachamim argument with Rabbi Shmuel either. Because you could simply explain it the way he would. Are you going to say, Latana Deveri Rabbi Shmuel, the Amar B'Shivcha Kedani, the Moreset Levit Ivri, Hakan Ami is going to claim that if she would Chuparsha Yumtu? Of course not. We're not crazy. And Lamait Lach Lameima, how would Rabbi Shmuel understand the Pasuk? He would say, Kilo Chuparsha, but if she had been Chuparsha and then accepted Kedushin, exactly. Then she'd be a regular Ishishish. Thank you very much. That's a very intelligent implication. It's not much of a chiddush. Fine, but that's all that it's saying. She will not die because there was no chupasha. So then that's true according to the Chachamim as well. So Hachanami, according to the ones who argue and they say that it's a chatzi shivcha, it's the same thing. If she had been chupasha, and then she went ahead and accepted a new kedushin, obviously, that's what it means. So chupsha v'chazav and iskatsha. You can't prove your contentions to me from here. Okay, now, getting back to the din in the Mishnah. The din in the Mishnah was that if you've got a situation where you have a chatzi eved, chatzi ben chorin, in the end, Beit Hillel says, yes, you're right, Beit Shammai, we've got to help this guy to reproduce. Because after all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu only created the world to reproduce. Om Rav Huna Bar Katina, Om Rav Yitzhak, Ma'ase Bishachat, Shechetz Yashivcha, V'chetzia bat chorin. Now, here's an interesting case. There was this maisa of a woman. Now, the story in the Mishnah was talking about an eved. How about a woman? Well, there was such a maisa where there were two owners, one of them had freed her, and the bezdin came, and they forced a get shichrur on the one who owned the other half. Now, I mean, for us to be very concerned about a woman's reproduction is not the same thing as being concerned for a male's reproduction because of the diak of v'kivshua, right? That only males are chayev in bruvu. So who is this going according to? Come on. apparently, it's going according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. Remember, we had the Mishnah back in Yevamos according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. He says, nonsense. Do you know how to read the Chumash in Gan Eden? Who was HaKadosh Baruch Hu talking to when he said Pru Revu? Vayavarech Otam Elohim. Otam means male and female. There was there Adam and Chava. And he told Adam and Chava Pru Revu. So obviously women are Mukhuyavas to be Pru Revu. And that would be explaining why they forced the owner of that woman, Achatzi Shivcha, to make her entirely free so that she can go and get married. Is that the only way to understand the Psak? Omer Nachum Bar Yitzchak? No. I mean, not necessarily. What may very well be is what we said before. In cases where you are leaving a woman without options for marriage, you are creating a dangerous sexual object. So we saw before that in that case where Minag Hefker Nahaguba, and as Tosis explains over there, she's a dangerous sexual object because she is enticing people into sex. Normally, we would say, look, you want to mess up your life and go screwing around, so go mess up your life. That's what we just learned in the Mesilas Yesharim. Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mifakeach alav, otzeh l'rachim al mi she'ein bodea. So why are we making takanas to save people? They want to go to a whorehouse, let them go to a whorehouse. There was actually, by the way, it's very interesting, Shaila Halacha LaMaisa that came up in the Middle Ages about the Beis Din, where there were people that went to the Beis Din. They said that all the yeshiva boys are going to this one whorehouse in town, and that if the Beis Din would take responsibility to see to it that all of the women go to the mikveh, so they wouldn't be nikshal in the Yisur Nida. So they wrote a teshuvah that in cases like this, Hal iteu l'rasha v'yamot. We don't make things easier if somebody wants to be a rasha. So fine, pour it down his throat and let him drop dead. So why don't we say in this case also, why should we worry? Because there, as Tosis explains, the men, now this, the women are going to love this one. The men are considered to be rape victims. How are they supposed to resist this woman who is anxious to get men into bed? So they're anusim. And if they, oh boy. So since they're anusim, we got to help them out. So we're going to get rid of this woman by making sure that she can get married. No, but this is, it sounds funny, but this is very seriously insightful into the particular issues that come up. It's mamash amazing. Anyway, we are ready. And Zoom is ready. It has carefully, gradually positioned Doc directly on top of Richie's head. And, oh boy, is he in trouble. Either you do this right, Rich, or you got some of those coffee cows in the front.
But on my screen, Doc is below me.
Ah, it's your screen.
I mean, I don't know, you know, I don't want to talk about it.
Okay, let me tell you, you know, you screen, I screen, we all screen for ice cream, but go for it. Lovely. Thank you so much, Doc. Wonderful job. We've got yet another knas, or another takana, to consider. And this would be, somebody sells his eved to an oved kochavim, or he sells it to someone who lives outside of Eretz Yisrael. Then that eved becomes a ben chorin automatically, and what happens is if he manages to run away from that guy that he was sold to, then he goes free. And we're going to see that you may even be forced to buy him back from the guy. We're going to be talking about all of these details in the sugya coming up. But it's another case where we will force you to write him a get shechrur. And the fact that you put him into a situation where he cannot keep mitzvahs, because he is sold to a guy, the guy's not going to let him keep the mitzvahs he has to keep. What do you mean you're not working on Saturdays? You're out of your mind. And if you sell him to chutz laretz, he's not going to be able to keep any of the mitzvahs that are nogea, and he's going to be over on the avera of going to chutz laretz. Because you forced that on him, you have to free him. Tana rabbanan, hamocher avdo lo ved kochavim, Yatzala Gechirut, but this is another one of the cases where Tzarich get Shichrur mi Rabo Rishon. The original owner is going to have to actually free him. Omer Shimon ben Gamliel, when do you say that you have to free him? That's only Shelo Katav Alav Ono. It's where you never wrote the own. Remember, we've been talking about the various legal documents are called Ono. We're going to get into the details of what is meant over here. So if he did not write out this own on him at the time that he sold him, then he still needs a separate get shechrut. Avokatav alav ono, if he did write the correct own, then that serves as his get shechrut. He doesn't need a separate get shechrut. What is the meaning of ono? Omer of Sheshes, the katav lehachi. This is basically where he makes a commitment, and this is what the goy wants. Because he doesn't want this guy running away and getting back to his Jewish owner. And he's aware of the religious issues that are involved over here. So, if the owner writes to the Eved, L'kishetivrach mimenu ein li esekbach, I hereby make it clear that I have no residual interests in you. If you end up running away from this guy, then you own yourself. I don't have anything over you, then that's the equivalent of a get shichrur, because you're saying the only thing that troubles you right now is the fact that this guy is in the way, he owns your work. That's not my problem. It's your problem. If you manage to get away from him, so then basically you're a ben chorin. That's what he's saying. Tana Rabbana, let us say that somebody uses his eved as collateral. So he goes over to a guy, borrows $100,000, and if I don't pay you, then this, my Eved, will be yours. So at the moment, Sha'asalo Ovid Kochavim Nimuso, the moment that the guy does what is the standard thing that's done, and Nimus is like a standard behavior, the customary proceedings is the Nimus, which we'll ask what that is. At that moment, the Eved is Yotze L'Cheirus, and the Odin has to give him a get shechrur, because using your eved as collateral for collection to a goy is the same thing as selling him to the goy, as far as we're concerned, if he went ahead and made a nimus. What is the meaning of nimuso? Omer Rav Huna bar Yehuda, this is a nashke. So a nashke is a seal that the goy will put over the neck of the eved to indicate that this Eved is set aside as collateral for the loan to Mr. So-and-so, and therefore everybody should be aware of the fact that if it isn't paid, this Eved is mine. So once he has essentially made this Eved known to be his, at that moment, it's the equivalent of a sale. Motzi Rav Sheshes, that cannot be what Nashki means. I'm sorry. Because take a look at this Braita, which uses the same word, and there's no way that it could mean a seal around the neck of an Eved. Here it's talking about a case. All of this has to do with the halakhas of land in Eretz Yisrael that is owned by Goyim. Now, remember we have this big machlokas about whether, Gavi, I'm pretty sure you've written it down, but just in case. Yesh kinyan lo'ved kochavim ve'eretz Yisrael la'afuke midei ma'asrot, or ein kinyan. So this revolves around the shita that holds. Yesh kinyan lo'aved kochavim. If a goy owns the land, of course, it's a very central issue nowadays in the dinim of Shemitah. Big machlokasim between Bnei Brak and Yerushalayim. This is an extremely contemporary issue. People have been rioting over these issues. God help us, the kind of things that were going on this past Shemitah. Anyway, so the din on this bright is assuming that the goy does have the ability to be mafkia Eretz Yisrael from the chiyuvim of the kedusha that would make you take off miser. So now let's say you are Jewish and you became a sharecropper on the land that the church has bought in Eretz Yisrael, chalila, or you are a chocher. So the difference between an aris and a chocher, aris is a classic sharecropper where there's a percentage of what it is that's grown, and it's split I'm going to do the work, but I'm going to take 30% of the crops, let's say, right? Chachira is you allow me to do everything. It's as if it's mine, and I pay you a certain amount, not defined by percentages, not defined by how good the agriculture is that year. I owe you 500 bushels of wheat a year, come hell or high water, for your allowing me to farm this land. Either way, we could also have even arisei batei avot, which is an even more sad situation, in which the church has owned this Jewish land for generations, and this particular Jewish family has been working that land for generations under an agreement for chachirut, which is, or arisut. Or the same thing would be true about a goy who has land in Eretz Yisrael, and he made that land a mortgage to borrow money from a Yisrael who lent him money. So over there, even though the Yisrael went ahead and asali nimuso, now nimuso here obviously cannot mean a nashki, because there's no such thing as a nashki on land. I mean, if what you said nashki means some kind of thing you put around the neck of an eved, like a necklace, to show that it's yours in case it's collateralized. This is ridiculous. So here it obviously means something else. Ptura min amaser. Under all such circumstances, the land per se belongs to the goy, and therefore these crops are pater from maaser, and so on. Okay. Now, here's my problem. You're going to say a nashki means a necklace around the neck of an eved? Isa gadaitach, that we're talking about nimuso, is a nashki. A soda can have a nashki. Obviously, that's not what nimuso means. So what would be the one word of nimuso that would apply both to the eved and to the soda? I'll tell you what it means. It means that you made a date for the collateral to be automatically transferred. If you're not paid by such and such a date, then the goy owns the eved. If I'm not paid by such and such a date, then the Jew takes over the property from the borrower, the goy. Okay, so that means that the original Breiser was talking about the eved. It says that if the loan that the Jew made the collateral of the eved for, and that's the equivalent of selling it because it's going to revert automatically to the goy. The second braita seems to be saying the opposite. I mean, it's a contradiction, no? Because the second braita says that if you wrote the date, that's what you're explaining as nimuso, and that the collateral is the Jews, nonetheless, it's not considered to be Jewish land, and it's not chayev in maisis. Now make up your mind. I don't understand. Is a nimus sufficient to turn collateral into the equivalent of a sale or not? I mean, we've got kasha zman azman. Answers the Gemara, well, I mean, why does it have to be kasha? Maybe the braita that was talking about the eved is talking about that the date is over. Okay, so on that date, indeed, it's now considered that you sold your eved because the date happened and now you gave it over to a goy and therefore you're going to have to be meshachar this eved. Whereas the bright about the land is talking about it's in advance of the date. And until such time as the date arrives, the sod is pater from Iser. I don't understand why that's a contradiction. No, says the Gemara. It's a very simple explanation, but it's wrong. Because when it says about the eved that the date already happened, you really think you need a brisa to tell me that? I don't understand. You basically have sold your eved to a goy. You gave him the eved. You said to him, if I don't pay you, it's yours. You didn't pay him, and it's his. I don't know why that has to be spelled out to you. I mean, it's pretty stupid to think that that's not the equivalent of selling him. It's already in the rishus of the guys. This is not a good explanation. Oversimplification. Okay, so we've got a contradiction. I got another idea. Actually, both prices have a date, and the date's not yet time. And still, there's no contradiction. Why? I'll tell you very simply. One braita was talking about where you made the eved's actual ownership as an eved. That is what you collateralized. Masha Einkein, in the case of the mortgage, you made a very standard type of mortgage. You didn't say you will own the field. You said that at that point, you, Mr. Goy, will take over the field's rights to all its production until such time as you're paid up. It's a completely different kind of contract. And that's only the pay rights. And therefore, obviously, you never transferred the goof of the carcass. So what's the problem? So why would it be put from Isis? Or I can tell it's talking about something else that he said, Bishalava Almenat Lamashkino. They could be talking about where you made this out, and it theoretically he could have collected, but in the end, it was after the date, but the lender never collected. He never made use of the collateral. He's still sitting, happens very often. He's sitting and waiting to see whether, okay, you need another month, fine, take another month. So even though the guy was able, technically speaking, to collect, he didn't. So Ben Ogea Meiser, we don't say that we should consider it as if it was already belonging to the Jew. But Ben Ogea the Eved, that's bad enough. So one of the dinim that we were kovea about Eved is even if you made it, they regoys theoretically that he could walk off with them when he wants to, that is enough of your being over on the Issur D'Rabbanan. And because of that, even though once the date passes, even though he wasn't collected, nonetheless, it is considered to be that you sold him. V'hakol sharir v'kayam. To be looked into more tomorrow, but we continue our investigation into these unusual kind of kinyanim and their relationship to the dinim of the avdus, the dinim of the oma, and the dinim of the mechira of the eved and the shtar of the eved, all because of the wonderful la meisha.